I've been preaching 46 years, and I have probably the most important message God's ever given me, and I'm going to give you tonight. It's something, preachers that are really the real deal, they don't get their sermons out of a book, you know, sermon outlines for the busy preacher. They get them from God, and you know what you've got over a lifetime. But the message tonight is about the most important message I know God's ever given me. I can't get over it. As a matter of fact, I was praying in the residence over here. I said, Lord, I got under conviction 20 minutes ago, and I don't hardly ever get under conviction. Amen. But I said, Lord, this material is so good, I'm trusting in the material tonight. I just caught myself. Forgive me. I said, ask him to bless me and give me the power for it to be delivered that'll help you. I can't just trust in the material. So let's jump right into things. Turn to Proverbs 20:9. Preacher mentioned my books. Most of you have them. But if you don't have them, please get one before I get out of here. And if you can think of giving someone a book to someone else now, there's a lot of a lot of shakiness out there, isn't there? You want to see something? I had a pastor in Texas post this book cover picture on his website, and he was down in Washington when the baloney hit the fan the other day, right? He said, this is Brother Grady's prophetic book cover, come out in 2005. You can't see it. Satan grabbing the dome with the Capitol. Came out in 2005. He said, I saw this painting being done in real time today, or yesterday when he got back. He was in that mess. He said, I saw that cover painted out in real life.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of people out there looking for answers.
Yes, sir.
And this book has 900 pages of answers.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be surprised. Lost people will go through this if you'll give it to them. You know, it's $30 on Amazon. It's $20 back here. And my Israel book's out there, 18,000 hours, 6 years to write it. It's the only game in town now. We're on the way out the door. And you need to know what God's doing with Israel. And that book took me 6 years to put it out there. You know it because most of you have them. But think about somebody that might be blessed by them. I just put a few out there. I've got more in my little truck. But anyway, let's jump into things, okay? We're going to see, I'm going to show you some object lessons tonight that are going to make the hair stand up on your neck. I'm going to act out something and display something to you tonight. Second half is the big one. If you're going to leave now, then come back for the second half. All right? All right, let's pray real quick. Father, I ask you to bless us, help us tonight. We need you more than ever tonight. Boy, at this time, perilous times, Lord, we ask you to please bless us. It's always been a good church to preach to. Now, reward these people for their faithfulness by giving them good insight. Lord, the man that wrote the 23rd Psalm had to pray, open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This is the only book you ever wrote. We just can't read it and understand it without your intervention. Lydia's heart was opened, so she attended unto the things spoken of by Paul. Open our understanding and our heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing, I got two launching off verses to give you by way of introduction before we get into the main material for the first half. I want you to see that you're not weird for how you feel right now. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people what?
Rejoice.
But when the wicked beareth rule, the people what?
Mourn.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. If you hadn't seen that verse lately, you can go home now and you'll be full for the night, just that one verse.
Amen.
You're not crazy for how you feel. But notice what it didn't say. It didn't say when the wicked are in authority, the people panic. Didn't say they worry. John Wesley used to say, worry is a mild form of atheism. What do you do when you're in that kind of condition? Turn over to 2 Chronicles 20. You all remember jumping Jehoshaphat? Well, he's jumping and hopping around because he's surrounded by the Moabites in chapter 20, and he's about going to be wiped out with the Jews. And so what's he do? He goes into his prayer closet. And in the middle of his prayer, this is what he says. And tell me you can't relate to this like a hand in a glove. Verse 12, middle of his prayer. 2 Chronicles 20:12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Hey, how you like that? When did you ever think Fox News would be just as much against you as CNN, per se? I mean, you get my point? We're surrounded by everything. That is a wild hairdo back there. I like that. All right? Now, watch this one. If you're surrounded and there's a great company against you that you have no strength to deal with, it gets worse. Look at the rest of the verse. Neither know we what to do. How about it? Isn't that where we are right now? Does anybody know what to do? All right. So when you don't know what to do, what should you do? Well, you read the rest of the verse. But our eyes, what? Are upon thee. What a verse.
Amen.
You'd put that on your refrigerator if I were you.
Amen.
What a verse. That's the best verse you can get in the whole Bible. We don't know what to do. We know we're surrounded. Remember in Tonto and the Lone Ranger, you know, and the Indians were surrounding them, and the Lone Ranger said to Tonto, man, we're surrounded, Tonto. And Tonto said, what you mean we, white man? Remember that old joke? It's about a million years old. We're surrounded, man. We ain't got a prayer. Just keep our eye on the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 9. The black preacher said he was going to preach one sermon. He's going to preach from genocide to revolution. That's an old joke. And people want to know, where can you find America in the Bible? Well, I can find America in the Bible in Genesis, and I can find her in Revelation. And I want you to see a clear passage here. One of the most controversial parts of the Bible is right there in Genesis chapter number 9. When Noah has prophecies about, God has prophecies through Noah for his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now you know, after the flood, they hung around where the ark was up in Turkey by Mount Ararat, and then their kids hung around, and nobody moved out like God had told them to do to repopulate the earth. And so then they parked with building the Tower of Babel, and God comes down and scatters them. Right? He scatters them in three directions according to Genesis 10, known as the Table of Nations. And it shows you the three descendants of Noah, where they went. Okay, now this is perhaps a review for some of you. Japheth goes, don't worry about that glare here, that's to hold your attention. Japheth goes north into Russia and hangs a left, it goes west through Europe, eventually over to the English Channel, to England, and then over the ocean to America. Shem goes due east, and the Near East, Middle East, Far East, and the Asian countries. His people move all around the world, eventually come into North America through the Bering Strait and Russia. They go the opposite, all the way around the globe. And if you're a so-called Native American Indian, you would descend back to Shem. And Ham goes due south, and he winds up on the continent of Africa. That's when the word Ham means dark or burnt. And that's why Psalm 106, I think it is, calls Egypt the land of Ham twice. And that, I've got a quote in this book from the Encyclopedia Britannica in the 1950s that said what I just told you. This was more than understood history forever until you get into a whacked out modern age when everything is twisted and a man is a woman and a woman is a man. I give free books to widows. I've failed to remember that tonight. And if you're a widow here, you probably got a book already. But I've had two men come to me in the last year telling me they identified as widows. One of them was in Los Angeles. Brother Cook, if you're seeing this, you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't you, somebody out there in that land of fruits and nuts. Anyway, so most of you know that much, right? That's old. Now, for instance, if you go to Genesis 10, verse 1, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them sons were born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, seven of them listed there, and then they give you a little migration information in the next couple of verses, which we're not even going to read. But the first one's name is Gomer. And you know what Jim Nabors said when he found out Rock Hudson had AIDS? I don't know if you heard that. Shazam. But anyway... What a name, Gomer, amen. Well, if you even read a Schofield note here, which is over 150 years old, even that, back then they understood that Gomer's descendants are the fathers of the Celtic people, the Scots, the Irish, and the English. And you follow me? I mean, this is history. This is not up for debate, who these people were and where they went. My mother's family, parents, were both from Finland. My father's grandfather was from Ireland. That's Grady, the Irish name. But his mother was from the Ukraine. So I tell people, Brother Paul, I'm 50% Finnish, 25% Irish, and 25% communist. Amen right there. Of course, the Ukrainians fight the communists, so it's a bad joke. But anyway, look at verse 27 of Genesis 9. God gives prophecies on these three sons. God shall, what? Enlarge Japheth. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That's what he did. He came across the ocean and booted the Indians out of their tents and moved them into reservations. That's a matter of historical record. Well, it's terrible. Well, when you get to heaven, you can talk to Geronimo about it because he got saved. And so did a lot of other Indians.
Yes.
But the deal is, this. You said it's controversial. Yeah, because it keeps talking about God putting a curse on Canaan. And so that's the descendants of Ham, which would be the black races of the world. Is there a curse on the black races of the world? Listen, you know how a coin has got two sides, a head and a tail? Listen, I don't even have to deal with that because, boy, hardly anybody can touch that with a 10-foot pole because they're not scared. When I grew up in New York, they said, us scared. I'm a scared. They're a scared to touch anything that has to do with the racial issue. And the Bible's filled with passages about racism or the subject of races. I've been to Africa once, Kenya and Uganda, and that's enough. I don't want to go back. They can't build three-story buildings in the 21st century on that continent. It's called the Dark Continent, and it's a messed up place. But that's got nothing to do with where I'm going. You know, you don't have to get nervous. Most people can't handle the first part of the verse, where it says not what God's going to do to Canaan and some of his descendants, but what he's going to do to Japheth. There's three boys representing three... You know, there's two ways of looking at it. Three different races, or the modern people say, oh, there's only one race, the human race. Okay, three divisions within the human race. Census forms used to have this. Are you Caucasian, Negroid, or Asiatic? I mean, it's been that way forever until the modern age when a man says, I'm a woman. You trust science today? Duh. Science falsely so-called. But of the three lines of human beings coming off the ark, God said he was going to pick one of them up and do something with him that he wasn't going to do with the other two. Forget about what he's done to Ham. Just look what he's going to do with Japheth. He's going to lift him up out of the other two and make him the enlarged race. Well, that's hate. Talk to God about it. You see what the Bible said?
Amen.
Now, let me show you something, neighbor. I'm in Tennessee, and everybody says, I'm a telling you neighbor over there. You know about that. All right, now look here. Let me give you a quote out of a sermon from Yale University, chapel sermon, Christian school when it started. Second president, Dr. Ezra Stiles, 1783. This is what he said in his sermon. Heaven has provided this country, not indeed derelict, but only partially settled, and consequently open for the reception of a new enlargement of Japheth.
Yes.
This isn't some weird 20th century nut job theory. This has been around forever,
yes.
This teaching.
Yes.
Europe was settled by Japheth. America is settling from Europe. And perhaps this second enlargement bids fair to surpass the first. In 200 or 300 years, this second enlargement may cover America with a population of 300 million. What a prophecy that he made back yonder. The United States, maybe 200 million souls, whites. Can we contemplate their present and anticipate their future increase and not be struck with astonishment to find ourselves in the midst of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Noah? May we not see that we are the object which the Holy Ghost had in view 4,000 years ago when he inspired the venerable patriarch with the visions respecting his posterity? I stand with Dr. Ezra Stiles 200, 300 years after he made that statement.
Yes.
That's all, nothing to it. But that's just one little glimpse. Let's go to Yale University in the 20th century now. Jump from 1783 to the 20th century. The number one history teacher at Yale was a guy named Dr. Paul Kennedy. He was the Dilworth Professor of History. Are you impressed? Amen. Now, he wrote a book called The Rise and Fall of the Great Powers. When you write a book, you have a bibliography at the back, if it's like a reference book, right? So here's my books. I have mine listed in the back. Spurgeon said, if a man would be read, he must read. If a man would be quoted, he must quote. So I put my sources, like any other person does if he wants to be credible. I may have 400 or 500 books. I don't have any idea. Maybe 600. I've lost track. In the back of either of these larger volumes of books, right? His book, the one I'm talking about now, has 1,800 books listed in his book. In other words, he had to read 1,800 books to write his book. This is Egghead City, Yale, Ivy League, right? This guy wouldn't know Japheth from Mickey Mouse. He's probably not a saved man, more than likely. And he's not talking about the Bible. He's just trying to tell you some history if you're interested. Can I quote you out of his book, The Rise and the Fall of the Great Powers? Are you ready, neighbor? In the year 1800, Europeans, that would be descendants of Japheth. Europeans occupied or controlled 35% of the land surface of the world. By 1878, this figure had risen to 67%, and by 1914, to over 84%. You know, listen, give me a break. The King James Bible could be true.
Amen.
Huh? It's at least a 50-50 chance it's the Word of God. Can I have that? Can you give me that much? You know what he just told you? On the eve of World War I, bad old white men controlled 84% of the planet.
Yes.
It sounds like God shall enlarge Japheth to me.
Yes.
Amen. Are you ashamed of that?
No.
Are you intimidated by that fact? I know you're not. But you should see some of the places I preach, amen. I was supposed to be in Philadelphia tomorrow night to preach. I got canceled over this nonsense.
Yes.
Some black preacher I know who's a kind of a rabble-rouser, troublemaker, in my opinion, posting at Martin Luther King Day, yakking all about Martin Luther King. Great day to be a black man. He shined the light on racism and all this stuff. You know what I put on his post? This is what got me canceled in Philadelphia tomorrow night. I said, by the way, when King was shot in Memphis, two of his mistresses were fighting to get into the same, you know, to the ambulance with him, and they were both kicked out of the ambulance. I don't know if you know that or not. Don't get sucked into all this garbage. If you ever read any of the theology he put in print, that man's more lost than Hitler was.
Yes.
Don't get nervous. Somebody said facts are stubborn things. I happened to mention, I said, let me tell you, neighbor, I'm not interested in hearing anything about Martin Luther King or comments on racism, bad old white people, 3 days before the greatest president of my lifetime is being evicted from the White House illegally. Not interested in hearing that garbage.
Amen.
See, that's how I am.
Amen.
I don't get scared of stuff.
Amen.
But there's a Bible verse that tells you what it's going to be like in the last days among Christian people. 2 Timothy 4. Chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then 20 signs are listed about what it's going to be like.
Yes.
And then chapter 4, verse 3 says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's you people, meaning your people. They're not lost people, but saved people. They're not going to endure it. They didn't say they won't believe it, they won't endure it. It's too politically incorrect. What you mean, we white men?
Right.
Hey, what are you men going to do on your job when they start forcing you to take yoga classes? It's part of your program. You going to tell them to get lost in a nice way? Or are you going to go into that demonism so you don't lose your paycheck?
Come on.
That's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yes.
It's going to get that way. Okay? And race issues, that's the worst issue. I don't know. 2 Christians out of 100 that can stand up and say, I believe Genesis 9:27, like I believe John 3:16. That's what a Bible believer means. Fundamentalist says you got 5 things you believe, or 6, depending on what list you're going to go for. A Bible believer means you believe everything in that book.
Amen.
Hello, neighbor.
Amen.
Let me read you another wild quote. This is from, Lord just told me to tell you something else I wrote. I was a bad boy that day on the Facebook. He said, whoa, look at the legacy of King versus Trump. I said, are you nuts? Would you like to know the legacy of Martin Luther King? I've been in 50 states. You know how many that is? That's every state in America. I preached in 91 churches last year. I thank God for that. I'm not bragging. 29 states, 91 churches. Most evangelists and missionaries have been They're on... Huh?
Furlough?
Not furlough. Yeah. Stay out of my preaching. Yeah. They're on... what's the word when you're almost dead?
Lockdown?
No, physically. You're almost dead. You're on a respirator. What do you call that? Life support, thank you. He heard the sermon the other day. What's the matter with you people? You all heard the same sermon. Most evangelists and missionaries were on life support last year. You know, donate buttons, GoFundMe pages, but God blessed me. That van out there, I was here last time, wiped the van out. Remember that? 15 days after I drove out of here, I had $35,000 in the mailbox. 35 large.
Amen.
I said that for them. You missed that. 35 large. That's mafia talk for 1,000. Come on. You're not going to make it through the first session. How are you going to come back? You're not going to come back. Watch who pulls out of the driveway. You know why Italians make good magicians? They had to make people disappear. All right, we know how to take care of you. I said, if you want the legacy of Martin Luther King, I'll tell you what the legacy is. Any city in America. If you want dope or whores, you go to MLK Boulevard, hang a right, and look for them. They'll be right there.
Yes,
I happen to know that.
Yes.
See, I'm not one of these little... Some of us were men before we were saved, and we're not scared of this kind of stupidity.
Amen.
Now, let me read you a quote from a Harvard professor, Samuel P. Huntington. This is another egghead that wouldn't know the Bible if he saw it, okay? He lists 14 categories where Western nations dominate everything, okay? That's white people, white men. You understand that? Western nations own and operate the international banking system, control all hard currencies, are the world's principal customer, provide the majority of the world's finished goods, dominate international capital markets, exert considerable moral leadership within many societies, are capable of massive military intervention, control the sea lanes, conduct most advanced technical research and development, control leading-edge technical education, dominate access to space, dominate the aerospace industry, dominate international communications, dominate the high-tech weapons industry. How much time you got? That's just 14 major categories.
Yes.
There's hundreds of minor categories. You say the white men control everything? No, they don't control everything. There's a movie called White Men Can't Jump. How many of you have heard of that? I put in my book, I guess another bad thing, I said white men can't jump, but they can build computers. You're starting to get a little quiet. Can you tell? Now, you don't mind laughing, but the rest of the time you're getting quiet. Let me help you for something. God didn't say he loved white people or Europeans more than Asians and black people.
Amen.
Is that what you read into the verse? I didn't read that, did you? He said he was going to enlarge European people. And he did it. I just gave you two quotes from Harvard and Yale. Yeah. Why would you even need those two quotes? So I saw a black man one time come out of a cockpit of a 747. Yeah, I know. You saw one and you remember that one you saw. Because exceptions prove the rule.
Yes, sir.
Don't be ashamed of this. This is, God said he was going to do something. Now, can I tell you, neighbor, I just mentioned an airline. I worked for British Airways when I was saved, 1974. I went to work for them in 72. They had just formed. They formed as a merger between BOAC and BEA. BOAC, the old BOAC, you old timers remember? Anybody remember the crazy Beatles song back in the USSR? Flew in from BOAC on BOAC. That's the international carrier from England, and BEA was the European airline, and they formed a merger. British Airways is subsidized by the British government. It's not a private corporation. And we had more airline network miles than any other carrier at the time. We flew to more places than Pan American, than Braniff, TWA. You know why that is? Because that's a reflection. Listen now. That's a reflection of an old expression that everybody's heard. Ready? The sun never sets, what? On the British Empire. See, little England had so many colonies around the world under their control that it was always daylight somewhere in the British Empire. What is that? Genesis 9:27. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Why did God do that? To get the gospel around the world.
Amen.
That's the culture He picked to do it.
Yes,
you all want to know what the word Japheth even means? It means beautiful. Like in Romans 10:5, how beautiful are the feet. Anybody remember how you got saved? Were you saved because of an Asian, an African, or a European? You know what the Greek word for that is? Duh. Which, what are you talking about? Yeah, how many times have you ever run into an African missionary and getting the gospel to Americans? There are more Baptists than where I live in Tennessee than people, amen. You all getting this? God didn't do that just so He could let the Europeans consume their strength and their expansion on their lust for themselves. He did it so ultimately the gospel was going to go out. They were called Christians first at Antioch. That's Syria. That's Asia. That's just where it starts. But guess where it's going to terminate? Do you know, young people back there, you don't even know where you are unless you go to England? You may not even realize that. You know how many times I go into like a McDonald's and there's a teenager in there, the cashier, I say, do you take Hawaiian money? That's why I ask them all the time with a straight face. They go nuts. They have no clue what to say. Some of them had never heard of Hawaii.
Right.
But they know how many likes they got on their Facebook posting of a squirrel pushing a beach ball down the beach. I got 24 likes. Young people, do not get overly infatuated with these things. Moses was downloading data from a cloud onto his tablet a long time before the Silicon Valley was ever here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. 20 signs are given, so you'll know you're in the last days. First sign, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Their own selfies.
Yes, sir.
I saw a picture of one of my 8 granddaughters on Facebook doing this. You know the picture taken when you're looking at them while they're doing that? I posted it, honey. I said, what are you looking at? My own granddaughter. What are you looking at? I almost wanted to say, what are you looking for? What are you trying to find? Mirror, mirror on the wall. And I love my granddaughter, but some of this stuff drives you nuts. Now, you want to see something beautiful? Turn to Daniel 8. Let me show you where this happened. Remember, we're talking about where America came from. Maybe the first part of this is going to be how America got, you know, where you find it in the Bible. In the second half, I'm going to show you really what in the world's going on right now, okay? Daniel 8. Remember, and listen, and you want to know something? Do you know that if anybody in this room believes Genesis 9:27 actually is true, which means God did what He said He would do, that He would pick one line of Noah's descendants and make them the enlarged race of the world, right? For the good of the world. Mostly for the good, for get the gospel out. If you believe that, you are a racist. And I can prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Get a dictionary. You all got phones, right? Go look it up. Go look up racism definition. See what it says. I do my homework. That's why I'm effective with what I do. You know what it says? It says, by the way, most all of you should know that Webster's 1828 dictionary is an excellent tool to use. But you can't find racism in 1828 Webster's because the word didn't even exist then.
That's right.
It's a modern word. First time it pops up is 1902 in an Oxford dictionary. It's got 2 or 3 parts to the definition. The main part of the definition says this. If you believe that one race is superior or inferior to another race, you are racist. Did Genesis 9:27 said that white people are better people than the Asians or Africans?
No.
It just said they would be the enlarged and they would be superior to their other two brothers.
Right.
Duh. I've got so many amazing truths in my head bouncing all around at the same time. I'm just trying to get this stuff out to you where it makes sense to you. You know why this is important? There's something called critical race theory. You look at it. It's going all through our culture the last 10 years, but it's accelerated in the last 3 years. Trump threw it out of the military 6 months ago before he got out of office. It's critical white theory, critical race theory is what it's called. It's taught in every school, starting in grade school. It's in all the corporate boardrooms. It's in the military. It's every place. What is it? What does that mean, critical white theory, critical race theory? That white men are bad, and they have suppressed people of color, and we've got to change everything. That's all there is to it. You can't keep your head in the ground if you happen to be that kind of person. You got to look at what's going on,
amen,
or you're going to become a Bible denier. In other words, I'm not ashamed of being a white person. I'm not ashamed of it. You know, my key, I went like that a few minutes ago. I don't know if you spotted it. I left my keys, bulky keys, in my room there at the Taj Mahal over there. Because I don't have to have them with me. I walked over here. But on my key ring, I've got a key. And I bet you $1 million nobody in here has got a key like I've got. There's a church in West Memphis, Arkansas. Morning Star Bible Baptist Church, I think it's called. That's probably the name. It's in West Memphis, Arkansas. Anyway, it's pastored by a former gangbanger from Omaha, Nebraska. He's about 6'8". He's a black dude. And if he likes you, if he knows you, he'll lift his shirt up and show you all his bullet holes and knife stab wounds and everything. He was a bad dude there before he got saved. He's got an all-black, King James Bible-only church. And he loves me to death. I preach for him every year, and he supports me monthly. You don't. You know I'm joking when I put it that way, because he takes care of me every other way. But I don't have six or seven churches support me monthly. I don't shake hands like a missionary. I don't request support. But this church supports me. They think that much of me. I went there and preached for him 3 months ago, and he wanted to put me in a real nice suite. And I said, no, can I stay with Brother Dudley? One of the nice, real good church members. I led his daughter to the Lord the year before last. And he said, boy, Brother Dudley, if you go to his house, he'll think the Holy Ghost came in. He thinks so much of you. You know what I mean? I said, that's good for him. Shake him up. I want to stay there. Tell him I want to stay there. You ready for this, neighbor? Don't forget, Bill Grady's a racist. Don't forget, because I'm teaching you all this racism stuff. Okay? Ready, neighbor? So he says, about a week later, I get an email from him. A text message. Brother Grady, what's your favorite color? What's my favorite color? Beside white? No. I was in Germany last January. Did I ever screw up there? It was in Dresden, Germany, a week-long camp meeting. First morning, Sunday morning, I opened the conference. All those in favor of gun control, raise your right hand. That's the first thing. Half the crowd jumped out the window. The other half had heart attacks. I did not. I've been to Germany two or three times. I didn't realize it's against the law to do the Hitler salute in Germany to this day. Some days it don't pay to get up in the morning. But he said, Brother Grady, what's your favorite color? I didn't have a favorite color. I didn't know what to say. I took one. I said blue, for real. And then I got an email. I don't know, a text message two or three days later. It said, what's your favorite soap? What's my favorite soap? You didn't ask me about that at the Taj Mahal over there. I said, Irish Spring. That's all I could think. You know, I got there about 3 weeks later to the conference. And he gave me a key to his house. I went into the house with him. You know, there's all these towels and washcloths blue his wife bought for me. There's my Irish Spring soap sitting next to it. When the week was over, I'm in the parking lot. I'm handing the key back to him. I said, hold that room for me next year. He said, you keep it, Brother Grady. You may come through here sometime and need a place to stay. I said, well, where do you keep your valuables? That's Brother Dudley, West Memphis, Arkansas. Do you got a key like that? Brother Grady, the racist who got canceled in Philadelphia for tomorrow night, He's got one on his key ring. That's because those people are sick in their minds.
Yes, sir.
And God will do something that dumb, I mean, that crazy, give me a key like that, just to use as an object lesson to smack somebody in their stinking head. Stupid people. Now, real quick, I'm going to show you two things, and then we'll take a break, okay? Please come back. At least leave some money before you go. Okay? Now, you know, the Lord said that he was going to enlarge Japheth. That's the future, after Noah's day. It wasn't that way at Noah's time. How many ever heard of the pharaohs and the pyramids? Okay, let me ask you a question. Now think, now you got to really think. I'm trying to teach you something. The Egyptians, right, the pharaohs, were they Asians, Africans, or Europeans? Yeah. How about the Hittites, you know, and the Assyrians that knocked off the 10 northern tribes? They're Asians. You all got that? Asia. You understand that? It didn't happen overnight. You want to see when it happened? Look at Daniel 8 real quick. I'll show you a mind-blowing little verse here. Daniel 8, ready? You want to see something blow your mind? Look at verse 7. Daniel 8, 7. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with cholera against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. Who are they talking about? Verse 5. And as I was, this is a vision Daniel has. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat. See that? An he-goat came from the, what's that next word? Don't ever forget that little word you're looking at there. You can circle it, do something with it. That's a buzzword. That's going to jump out of the page and hit you right in the head. Look. That he-goat comes from the west on the face of the whole earth. And look, touched not the ground. Remember Wile E. Coyote? His legs is spinning like a wheel. He was going so fast. That's what the thought is here. And had a notable horn between his eyes. A one-horned goat. Look at verse 6, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with cholera. Hold on. I'm getting little messages from the Holy Ghost here. Put them down as I feel them. Amen? What was that?
Amen.
Brother Nash, you're smoking again. Verse 7, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with cholera against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. You all see that? You can write, I'm not telling you what to do with your Bible, but if you take notes and like to do stuff, you can put Genesis 9:27 down right next to verse 7, because that's when the enlargement of Japheth begins. All right? Yeah, I mean, look, I was in a room full of Christians the other day, a packed house, and I excluded the preacher because they control the love offering. You never want to make them look dumb. And I just asked the people, I said, how many of you know, this is a prophecy, it's a prophetic vision. Right? That he-goat represents somebody. The goat represents something, and the ram represents something that was going to happen in the future. And it happened exactly like this prophecy said it would. Okay? Now, I'm just curious, just for fun. And Paul, you don't count, and you guys don't count that were here the other night. Mario Alonso back there, you definitely don't count back there. All right? Just the normal human beings that haven't heard this sermon before. Ready? Tell me who that he-goat is. Shout it out. I said not the preacher. What are we going to do with this guy? You ever see my cousin Vinny? Not you, he yells at the judge. Oh, sorry. That's what dealing with the Utes, amen. Okay. Anybody know who the he-goat is? Yell it out. Who? A wife beater. I'm a 70... I'm an old man. I can't hear real good. You got to yell it out. Who? Oh, no. Very good. No, I see what you mean. I see what you... Yes, it was definitely a Japhethite. But what Japhethite? You know who that is? That's Alexander the Great. Look at verse 8 and see if you don't see the word great sitting there as a little English nugget twice. His horn got broken off at the height of his power. Read verse 8 real quick.
Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven.
That's Alexander the Great killed King Darius. Well, he didn't kill him. He defeated King Darius III's army out there in Turkey, and that was the Medo-Persian Empire. Look, how many horns? Two horns. Medo, the one's stronger than the other one. The Persian Empire was the powerful one. The Medes were conquered by the Persians. They absorbed a lot of their empire and their strength. But it was always called the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay, and that's the empire that Alexander the Great knocked off. Now wait a minute. And then when he died, suddenly after the victory, a few years later, on his deathbed, they said, "Who gets your kingdom, Alexander?" He said, "Give it to the strongest." And they divided it up into four generals. That's one of the greatest prophecies in that Bible for historical accuracy. It got split up among four people. But here's my point. Look, don't turn to it for time. But if you go to Daniel chapter 2, right? That's when Nebuchadnezzar has that wild dream. He ate too many enchiladas, amen? And they're fighting me right now, if you're interested, preacher. I told him he might have to preach tonight. You may have the second session, so get something ready. I'm hurting here. You know what the most common expression is at an Italian funeral? Have you ever heard that one? If he'd only kept his mouth shut. Okay. So Nebuchadnezzar has this vision from too many tacos. Remember that? And Daniel's going to interpret his dream. Remember that? He's looking at a man with four parts to him. And what does Daniel say? These are four empires that are going to come like that. He said, the head of gold, he said, that's you. You're the first one. You're already in business. Hello, anybody ever heard of Babylon? Where's Babylon? Is it in Europe, Asia, or Africa? It's in Iraq. Got it? That's Shem. God said he was going to enlarge who? Japheth. Then they had two arms. We're going through Daniel 2 without turn 2 for time. Two arms of silver. What is that? Medes and the Persians. They were the ones who conquered Nebuchadnezzar's people. But then you got that thigh and belly of brass. Next empire. Who do you think that is? That's that he-goat. That's Greece. Ready? Ready? Europe. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Japheth.
Yes, sir.
That's where it starts.
Yes.
And the Greeks eventually get eclipsed by who? The two legs of iron. Roman Empire.
Roman.
Two legs because there's a Western Empire and an Eastern Empire. And then 10 toes, right? That's eventually going to be the revived Roman Empire. The Antichrist probably have some kind of European Confederation, EU, something like that. But that's not worth getting off on a rabbit trail. But you got the point? You see how it is? It didn't happen overnight. It happened eventually. And tonight, it's been this way. Europe, Japheth never looked back after the Greeks took over. They've been in power forever. And that's how things are in the world tonight. What's the point, though? Watch. What's the point? To get the gospel out?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to show you, I got about three powerful, beautiful spiritual nuggets that the Lord has given me in the last 3 months developing this brand new message that I split in two parts, okay? I'm going to give you the first one right now. What we just looked at here was good enough about Japheth, where he starts out, where he kicks in. But I'm going to give you a real beautiful one, and then we'll take our first break, okay? Please come back. Listen, I got a little Rodney Dangerfield in me. He said when he was a little kid, he'd play hide and seek and nobody looked for him. I mean, we all have self-esteem issues. Okay, don't leave. Come on.
There goes neighborhood.
I had that photograph in my book. That's Rodney Dangerfield's tombstone. There goes the neighborhood. For real. All right. Now, you want to see something worth coming for? If this entices you, come back, because there's a lot more where this comes from after the break. Turn to Acts 16. I want to show you something beautiful. So God's going to get the gospel out to the world. Jesus shows up, right? The Jews reject him. And so he gives the Jews a second chance there in the book of Acts. They reject him again when they kill Stephen, and the guy kind of overseeing the deal, Saul of Tarsus, right? He gets tapped to become the main spokesman for the church age is going to come after your relatives. Not only, see, there's two things you got to keep track of: Jews and Gentiles, and Ham, Shem, and Japheth. A Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew. And by the way, the Lord just reminded me of something I totally forgot about. I'm so into this message anymore, I don't even use any notes. Listen, if you think all the races are the same, you got mental problems. Because you never read your Bible. Go over there in Exodus, God doth put a difference between the Jews and the Egyptians. Try that one on for size. God didn't see those two people the same. Now, talk to him about it. That goes against your global philosophy.
Right.
And let me ask you a question. You think all the races are the same? How many of you have ever been in a pawn shop before? I used to live in there, pawning stuff. Hey, nothing to be ashamed of. Hey, okay? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Tell me, look here. I don't know how much I got in here. I have no, let's make a deal. You want to take door number two or what's in my hand? I don't know how much is here. Got a 20 here, my cousin Vinny. What if it's 51s with a 20 around it? Look here, I'm not as spiritual as you think I am. Listen, I'll give you this whole roll of cash right here. If you can tell me if you've ever been in a pawn shop before that was run by a black man and a Jew was in there pawning some of his junk to the black man. Raise your hand, there you go. You're not old enough to be a pawn. You understand what I just told you? Do you think everybody handles money the same way? Ladies, help me. Help me out. Did I compliment your necklace there when I came in? Tell me, help me out. What's the first three letters of jewelry? Thank you. What's the matter with you? You don't know that? My father grew up in Hell's Kitchen in west side of Manhattan in the 1940s. He told me a story when he was in his 60s or 70s. He can still remember a flashback to when he was a teenager. When him and his goofy friends were hanging out in front of the local pawn shop, you know, owned by the local Jew, you know. And the Jew would come out, he said, with a broom, smacking all the teenagers, chasing them away. And he would say, "Stay away from my windows. And let the sun shine in on my diamonds." Come on, neighbor. Do you know there's a verse that says in Numbers where the Lord said, talking to Israel, remember that I gave thee power to get wealth?
Amen.
The Jew is the top man in the world with money because God did that for him.
Amen.
So he could stay alive because he's being chased all around the world for 2,000 years. Duh. He can't drag his real estate holdings with him, so he's got to take his precious stones. I don't want to tell you how many diamonds those Jews smuggled into Auschwitz. It's too grotesque of a story if you can read through between the lines. That's how they live. Somebody said the reason Gentiles hate Jews so much is because Gentiles love money and Jews know how to make it. This Jew come into a village one time, and the mayor met him and said, "We don't allow any Jews in our village." And the Jew said, "That's why it's still a village." Okay, so you think all the races are the same, huh? Well, I'll pray for your mind. Don't get sucked into this stupid garbage. Listen, if you think God hates black people, you better figure out why. I mean, if you think that Japheth's elevation means God doesn't love black people, you better figure out why he chose a black man to make sure Jesus made it to the cross. So you could be saved. And then he gave the honor of the first Gentile to be saved was a black man. I preached down in Marvelous Grace Girls Home, Pace, Florida last year. Had a couple of girls saved. One of them was from Ethiopia. She traces right back to that Ethiopian eunuch. How many of you old timers remember that king of Ethiopia, Haile Selassie? He's a saved man, giving the gospel to his people like crazy. Don't get sucked into this perverted garbage.
Yes.
Acts chapter 16, we'll close with this nugget. Paul's roaming around to get the gospel now. God, remember I said there's Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and there's Jews and Gentiles. A Gentile is anybody who's not a Jew. Okay? But all the Gentiles come from three lines, don't they? From Ham, Shem, or Japheth. Okay? So here's Paul. Where's he at? He's on his third missionary journey. He's in Asia. Okay, what's he doing up there? He's preaching the gospel up there on his third missionary journey. But the Lord's doing this, look. Lord's going like this, look. Okay, it's about time I go get Japheth the gospel. The Christians were called, they were called Christians first at Antioch, Syria, land of Shem, but we got to get it to your barbarian relatives. All right? You see verse 6? Look at verse 6. Brother Nash, do me a favor. Let's make right, it's a black church now. The black preachers get people reading the text for one more time, and they cut them off and make a comment. Do me a favor, Brother Greg. Read verse 6 real loud and watch what happens. You're not going to believe what happens.
Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You know what God said? Time out now. I'm not going to stop getting the gospel to these people, but I'm going to make a detour. What's the next verse?
After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Twice he stopped. Now that you won't get, listen, if you can get this, you'll get one of the biggest, one of the greatest nuggets God ever showed me. He showed me 3 months ago. I was sitting on a front pew of a church in Kentucky waiting to preach, and I'm looking at Acts 16, reading the passage, and the Spirit of God showed me what I'm going to show you right now, okay? I'm just showing you. Now watch. You got to get the map. Look, here's Israel. Okay, look. Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, right? Jordan River, right? Mediterranean Sea out here. You all got that? Now watch. If you go due north from Israel, you're going to go into Lebanon. Go to the right, you're going to go into Syria, Golan Heights, right? Look. If you keep on going north through Lebanon, you're going to wind up in Turkey. That's Asia Minor up there, right? Got that? Now, if you go all the way to the edge of Turkey, you're going to come to the shoreline of the Aegean Sea. There's an ocean there. Hello? If you cross the Aegean Sea, you land up in Greece. That's Europe. That's the land of Japheth. Where Paul is right now, he's right up here in Turkey, moving around, okay? Read the next verse, preacher.
And they passing by Mysia,
came down to Troas. They're coming off the mountain, coming down to the shoreline. Now they're like on the beach. Troas, look, is the jumping off town. They're at the edge of Asia, right here. It's the end of Asia, right? That portion right there. Right? There's an ocean. There's a little sea right there. I told you, the Aegean Sea. Got it? Now, when he's there, what happens to him? Read the next verse. You want to hear something beautiful? I pastored a church in Idaho, and I love what I'm doing now because I pastored two churches. I love church people. I hate preaching about the Illuminati or any of the crazy things I write about. I'd rather just be where you are. That's my heart. I love God's people. You're His sheep. Anybody even saved less than a year, you're one of His lambs. And I love this, okay? I'm sitting on my couch in Tennessee 15 years ago, right? In my home on House Mountain in Corryton, Tennessee, on a 9-acre piece of ground, I'm sitting there reading an email from a woman. My wife is sitting right next to me. I'm in full-time evangelism now. I pastored my first church in Idaho years ago, earlier. This letter is from a woman, she and her husband, one of two couples in Michigan trying to get me to come up there to start a church. Nasty Flint, Michigan. Duh, I'm in the Smoky Mountains almost. I'm in East Tennessee. And they've been in touch with me, and I wasn't turning it down because of this beauty. I just hadn't gotten any clear sign from the Lord yet, or leading, right? And I'm reading this email, just got it off the computer. I don't know what it says yet. Reading it through for the first time with my wife sitting here. And it said, and she said, Brother Grady, doesn't the Bible say something about come over and help us? She quoted that verse. Lord said, there you go. Can I show you, the preacher, you got a good preacher's wife here. You know that.
Amen.
Is there anything else, Mrs.? I knew her when she was a student at Hiles Anderson College, so I can cut up with her like that. But you do have a good preacher's wife. If you don't know that, you got mental problems. Listen, Greg married up. He may not know it, but he married up, and I married up. And I'm going to show you how much I, like the black preacher said, I married muchly up. Can I show you how? I read that email. You know what I said to my wife as soon as I read it? She's hearing me read it for the first time. I looked at her, and I said, honey, Let's name it Macedonia Baptist Church. I didn't say, what do you think, honey? You think we should go? Would you support me? I didn't even, I just said, let's go. Well, let's call it Macedonia Baptist Church. I didn't even have to. That's the kind of wife God gave me 46 years ago. And we went and started a church up there in Michigan based on that verse. But all that to say this, you're going to get your mind blown. Listen to this. And here's the nugget, and we're going to quit. What's the goal of God getting the gospel into Europe? Ultimately, what's the goal? Listen, man, you don't know what time it is until you go to England. I started talking about that a minute ago. Greenwich Mean Time. Time is set at Greenwich, England. You don't know where you are without going to England. All longitude and latitude. Boy, this is heavy. All longitude and latitude is set. Greg, help me here, will you? He thought I was kidding.
I did.
That and the enchiladas is just too much. You can put it back there. All longitude and latitude is set in England. You don't know where you are without England. Hey, neighbor, you don't even know what the temperature is without BTUs. And they don't. That doesn't stand for Pollock thermal units. British thermal units. If you want to know if you got the right Bible, find out where one come from England, where the word of a king is this power. So the King James Bible is the ultimate goal of the gospel of the grace of God landed in Europe. Is that right or wrong?
Yes.
Put your seatbelt on. Pastor Nash hasn't even seen this. I haven't showed it to him yet. Ready? And we'll read this verse and take our first break. Read the next verse, preacher.
After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel.
Okay, read the next verse.
Therefore, loosing from Troas.
Loosing, get it? It's a maritime term. They're on a boat now.
We came with a straight course to Samothracia.
I wanted him to read it because I can't pronounce those names.
And the next day, to Neapolis.
Samothracia there is a Greek island. And from there to Neapolis, that's the coastal city on the other side of the ocean. That's the jumping off point at the end of Greece. You've gone from Troas on the edge of Asia to Neapolis on the edge of Greece. You got that? Now look, you know where Paul just landed? He just landed in Europe.
Yes.
For the first time with that gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. And guess what the goal is? What's the goal? Look. Within 3 or 4 verses, he's going to lead a lady to the Lord. Is that right, Lydia? The first European to be saved is a businesswoman. Isn't that funny how God works stuff? Ready? I was over in Poland doing research for my Israel book at Auschwitz death camp. That's the second time I'd been there. I had a Polish lady for a guide, paid her big bucks, right? Private guide. When I was all done with her, I wanted to witness to her. So I gave her a $50 tip on top of the big bucks. You know, lost people pay attention more when you give them a tip.
Amen.
Most Baptists just leave tip tracks, amen? I'm an ex-Catholic, so I like the money. My dad got a Christmas card from Bobby Kennedy one year when he was a doorman on Park Avenue. He tore it open. He said, there was just a picture of his family in there. What do I care about his family? I want green stuff. So I threw it in the garbage. $50, man. And I said, you know, the first person that ever became a Christian in Europe was named after you. All right. Here's the nugget now. What's the goal? Where are we heading for? Heading for that AV 1611. That's going to get us. Anybody ever get saved any other way? Here's the nugget. Please act impressed if you don't get it. I'll be depressed if you're not excited. Act excited when you see it. Ready? Brother Doggett, right? Is that your name? Do me a favor. You see where the gospel of the grace of God lands at Neapolis? See it? Tell me what the scripture reference is. Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. I'm sitting there on a front porch, on a front pew, and God showed me that 3 months ago in Ekron, Kentucky. Did that blow over somebody's head?
Amen.
Remember that book we talked about once, After the Thousand Years by Trench, written in 1897? Guy in 1897 wrote a book, and you know what he said? He said, if you're standing on the... I've probably shared this with the last time I was here. If you're standing on the beach, look, and the oceans, look, rushing up over your ankles like a tide coming in, see it? He said, look down at that foamy water going around your ankles. He said, that represents the amount of the Bible that God has opened up to your understanding so far. Yes? David said, open my eyes, right? Ready? He said, the rest of it's out there.
Yes. Yes.
You couldn't exhaust, you couldn't scratch the surface of this book in 100 lifetimes.
Amen.
Acts 16:11 has been sitting in there forever. I never saw that.
Amen.
That's where the gospel touches Europe for the first time. And that's the goal, to get it to us. Okay. Thank you for being a good group here, first session. But promise me, the second session is going to be 10 times crazier than the first session. And I've been here enough times, I'm just pulling your leg. I know you're not going to leave, right? But you don't...